The message tonight is called The Message Satan Never Wanted You, the Church, to Know. Now, I'm going to talk about Satan a little bit, but I'm not honoring him or glorifying him. What we're doing is it's good to know your enemy. It's good to identify your enemy. Sometimes we know he's the devil and he's a... Yep, that'll do. And... I had another word, but it's good that we know. We're going through a transition as a church, and I'll tell you what, it's good to know your enemy. It's good to know what he does and what he's like. But I'm not going to rave on about him all night, but this is what God's given me, so I'm going to obey God rather than, okay. This truth is extremely important. Oh, hello. This truth is extremely important, and it is a truth Satan wishes we never would discover. Furthermore, he will do everything in his power to prevent us from apprehending this truth that's taking a hold of it. He will do everything in his power to stop us from understanding this truth, and he'll do everything in his power to stop us applying this truth. Now, it is good for us to understand who our enemy is. And it's good for us to take a hold of what Satan is trying to hide from us. And it's also very, very good that we learn to apply this in our Christian life against him. Because he comes across like a roaring lion. And... I tell you, people, we've got to know something, and you all know what I'm going to say tonight, at any rate. But it's good, it's good. The Bible passage is Luke chapter 11, 21 to 22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted, and divides up the spoil. This parable is talking about two people. Who are they? Who's the first strong man? Satan. The second strong man is Jesus. Now, this parable is the first strong man is Satan. The second strong man is Jesus. Satan had everything under his control in his stronghold. He had enslaved humanity. He had robbed us all of the wealth and the blessings that God had intended for us to have. Satan was sitting and thinking he was undefeatable. Now, you ever heard the song? Then along came John. Yeah. Well, I've got, then along come Jesus. Now, through the cross, Jesus Christ administered to Satan a total, grab a hold of this please, a total, permanent, and irrevocable defeat. That's the truth that he's trying to hide from us. Now, why on earth is he trying to hide that truth from us? Because he doesn't want us to become strong Christians. He doesn't want us to put our faith and our trust in God, because he wants to put fear in our lives. He attacks our homes. He attacks our families. He attacks us. He attacks the church. But really, that's all he can do. As long as we stay safely in the boundaries of our Christian faith, nothing is impossible for us. We're not the ones who run and flee. The Bible tells me Satan flees from us. We've got to know who he is. We've got to know what he's up to. Did you know the Bible doesn't speak much about Satan's powers, but it speaks more about his cunningness, his trickery, and here's the big word I can't say, his deceitfulness or something. Yeah. I tried it at home, but I still couldn't get it, eh? Now, He doesn't want the church to know that he's already been defeated. He doesn't want you to know that he's already been defeated. He wants to make you a fearful, low self-esteem Christian. And a low self-esteem person will not take a risk. They will not say, Lord, I see the open door you're opening for me. I'm going to go through there. They won't. Oh, pick someone else. I can't walk very good, or I can't talk very good. Ben will do the job. More jobs? That's what he's trying to do, people. He's trying to paralyze us and make us a fearful, weak Christian people. He wants to influence the church rather than the church influence the darkness. Okay. He also knows how to exploit your weaknesses in the direction of discouragement, disappointment, failure, and abandon of the Christian life. Now, I've been around, I gave my heart to the Lord in 1969. And in my Christian journey, I have seen awesome people, preachers, walk away from Christ. And I've gone up to them and I've said, what has happened? You know, and they really just lost faith. Lost faith. Do you know something? What does Satan attack most? Apart from their mind being the battlefield, what does Satan attack the most in you and try and take off you? It starts with F-A-I-T-H. Faith. What did Jesus pray? Father, he didn't pray that Peter would not deny him. He said, Father, protect his faith. I don't care if he denies me, but preserve his faith. And you know something? If Satan can take the faith out of us and trust in out of us and towards our God, he's won a victory. You know, a lot of people have left the church. A lot of people have left God's kingdom because the enemy has put a lie and a deceitfulness into their hearts and robbed them of their faith and their vision. And what Ben was preaching this morning, their dreams. I have a dream. I do. I actually have it. I have a dream. Okay. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, people, yes, he is around. He does. He's prowling around. Let's not play silly games. He is there. He's evil. He is cunning. He is liar. He's deceitful. You know, he'll even put in your head to gossip about somebody. Don't. Because you know what? The Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. This is authority that God has given me, and it's mine. Mine. But the moment I give the devil a foothold and I let him in, I give him that authority. And he has authority over me then, over my family, my home, my job, or whatever I'm involved with. So, when it says, do not give the devil a foothold, it is saying, do not give the devil your authority that has been given to you. Because once you do, you're in big wobble. You're in very big wobble. I got this joke given to me. I'm not very good at telling jokes, so if you don't laugh, I'm going to hide under there. Okay? I'll do it after who it does. There was a man walking down the street. He saw the devil sitting on the footpath with his head in his hands, crying. The man said to him, why are you crying? The devil said, those Christians always blame me for everything. And you know what we do? We do. And sometimes natural things happen and we say it was the devil. Nah. Don't give him any honor or any glory that he doesn't deserve. Here's the meaning of faith. A belief in or a confident attitude towards God involving commitment to his will in your life. I'll do that again. But this is a meaning of faith. What's happening to this thing here? Oh, there it is. That's clever. I got it in my hands. Can you still, am I still on, Bella? I only got one ear on. I believe in miracles. This is a meaning of faith. A belief in or a confident attitude towards God. A confident attitude towards God. Involving commitment to his will for your life. That is what the devil is trying to take away from us. When we go through this transition and we're having dreams and we're dreaming God's dreams, we've also got to learn we've got an enemy. You know, I was in a motorbike gang called the Aztecs before I got saved. And I'll tell you what, I had to know who I had to know who was an enemy and who wasn't an enemy, because you had to guard your back all the time. And you had to know your enemy. And it's the same thing in our Christian walk. We've got to know our enemy. Know what he's like. Know he's cunning. And he whispers, yeah, he is. He prowls around and he throws these darts at you. Or he tries to cause massive things happen in your family. Stand in the boundary and stand firm on the faith that God has given you. He cannot touch us because he's already been defeated at Calvary. Jesus made him defeated, an irrevocable thing he cannot take back. Him and his demons are dead. They are defeated against born again children of the living God. We are conquerors. We are more than conquerors because of Calvary. We need to grab a hold of Calvary. We need to live Calvary. We need to dream Calvary. We need to love Calvary. We need to make Calvary our life, because that's it. That's where it all is. Our Lord loves us that much. He not only forgave us of our sins, he not only redeemed us, sanctified us, and all the rest of those beautiful things, he set us free from our enemy. And he can attack you, he can do all sorts of things to you, but if you stand your ground, he can't touch you. This church is protected by Calvary. We are protected by Calvary. And this is why the Lord gave me this about 6 months ago. And I tell you what, we need to know what the Lord is saying to us. Know your enemy. We're going through a transition. We need to know what he's going to try and do. I heard someone say once, it's like a crayfish. A crayfish has a hard skin. And then at a certain time in its life, it sheds the skin off. And it's vulnerable for a period of time. And it goes and hides until it puts another hard skin on. But all the fish go, yummy, yummy crayfish. And they go looking for this crayfish to eat it because it's all nice and tender. And Satan's the same. We're going through a beautiful transition. I have been in a church that went through a transition and it was a disaster because no one knew. You know something, people? I thank God for Pastor Illy and Pastor Andrew and Pastor Ben and Pastor. I thank God for them. You know why? Pastor Illy's been sharing with us about transition. And then along came John Keynes. He helped us understand transition a lot more. I thank God for that man. He was so simple, yet he was so deep and so powerful. And it opened your understanding to what we're going into. Don't flow against the Holy Spirit. Go with the Holy Spirit. Love each other. Don't talk about each other. What's he doing in the worship team? As Ben said this morning. No. Praise God, you're in the worship team. Bless you. That's what we should be doing. Don't give the devil any room to move. Years ago, I was running a ministry called 60 Minutes, and a couple got married, and the woman left him because he was a bit old, and went off with someone else. And I got up, and I said to this group, there's quite a heck of a lot of people, I said to them, don't talk about it behind anyone's back. Don't even whisper it. You come to me or my wife. Do not go to anyone else because you're going to let the enemy in this ministry and he'll destroy it. And you know what? Not a thing was said, and the ministry just blossomed and took off. Because you just got, you know, I know what gossip can do. You know, didn't let it happen. And praise God. Okay. As I said, do not give the devil a foothold. Because somebody can have this joke if they want. It didn't work. Oop, my ear. Okay. We need to deal with the little foxes that spoil the vine. Songs of Solomon 2:15. You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We don't take any notice of them because they're little. We don't take any notice of them because it's a whisper. I'm going to share something with you. It's rather crazy. But it happened to me, and I learned a very valuable lesson. I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore. Now, I was on Facebook, and I always check up on what people are doing in here, my sister and Ozzy, like Monica and all them, they all Facebooky. And all of a sudden, these pretty girls turned up. I want to become a friend. Oh, look, Lynn, look. Delete, delete. And every day, one of these chicks would come on my phone. And for about a month, I just kept deleting. And then one night, I was so tired, I thought, oh, had enough. And I pushed confirmed instead of delete. And it all broke loose after that. And I was like, I should have dealt. The lesson I learned was, I should have dealt with that little fox. When it first started, I should have shut my phone down. How they got there, I do not know. How they got on my phone, I do not know. I've deleted Facebook. I have nothing to do with it now. But it got worse than that. And I got on my knees, and I said to God, I've learned a valuable lesson, Dad. I should have destroyed that thing. I should have nipped it in the bud. Instead of going to Lynn saying, look at this, dear. What are they doing on my phone? I should have turned around and said, delete, finish, Lynn, take Facebook off my phone. I should have done that. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Okay. Through the blood, through the death of Jesus, God provided two areas of forgiveness. This is a different, going to a different passage now, of deliverance from guilt. One has to do with our past guilt. The other has to do with our future guilt. First, God made provision for the past. All our acts of disobedience were punished in Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to this bit coming up. There is nothing from the past against you in the records of heaven. I want to repeat that. If you had a past like me, this is great news. Okay? Okay, I agree, darling. Okay, there is nothing from the past against you in the records of heaven. Everybody sitting here, all those that are listening, hopefully one day, and whatever, we are clean. We have a clean slate. And if Satan comes up and goes, what does Ben do? Get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. I don't receive that. That's already dead and gone. You know, a lot of people are in mental institutions, and jails and things like that because of their past. They've allowed their past to dictate their future. And when I become born again, and I've had a shocking past, I've nearly killed 5 people while I was in the gangs, shot one, nearly cut a throat of another. I was a wild, wild man. And all I wanted to do was kill if I got into a fight. I wouldn't stop until blood was going all over the place. That's just the way I did it. And when I become a Christian, all that came flying back. And I had to learn, Pastor Graham had to teach me, do not let your past dictate your future. And I tell you, I've had to make a stand. I am not listening to you. My past is buried. It's washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Here's something. It's very, very important. If you're here tonight, or you're listening somewhere, sometime, and you've got a sin that you're struggling with and you haven't totally confessed it because you don't know who to go to, you don't know who to trust. And we've been that. I can remember years ago, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was driving my car around Whanganui in the dark, bawling my eyes out. I didn't know who to go to with this thing on my heart. I thought, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm a banana or something. I didn't know who to go to. And I just cried and drove around. Lynn was in bed. She didn't know, I don't think. I just cried and drove through Whanganui, bawling my eyes out. Lord, who do I go to? I wanted something with skin on. I needed to talk to somebody with skin on. But I didn't know who to go to. I didn't know who to trust. I didn't know what they'd think of me. And praise God, the Lord led me to Owen Riley, Pastor Owen Riley. Beautiful man. And do you know, even on his deathbed, he was still praying for me? When his wife came and told me, I was at work, I bawled my eyes out. Because I didn't realize how much he loved me. People, if you've got something and you don't quite know who to go to, and you've gone to the Lord, yes, and he's already dealt with it, yes, but we've got to do our part. We've got to bring it into the light. Instead of hiding it in the darkness, because it will destroy you. Bring it into the light. Confess it with somebody. But pray hard that you go to the person that the Lord asked you to go to. I thank God for Pastor Owen Riley, that I could go to him, and he didn't even blink an eye. He just says, Barry, thank you. Can I pray for you? I was thinking, whoa, I was waiting for, like, would you mind if I leave? You know, none of that. So, please, don't carry that thing around with you. Bring it in the light. Bring it in the light. First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to back the bus up a little bit here. The devil is a created being. He's not supernatural like Jesus Christ. He is a created being. I remember when I was running 60 Minutes, we were doing a study, and Derek Prince, and I come across, Satan is a created being. Now, block your ears. I go, what? Created being? This is in the study class, because I thought he was like Jesus. I thought those two were having wrestling matches, WWF matches all the time. That's what I thought. I didn't know. But then, and then everyone's sort of like, are you all right, Barry? Oh, yes, I'm all right. Now, really, he's a created being, and he can only be at one place at a time. That's really important to know. What? Yes, he has an army. But then again, they've been paralyzed by the blood of Jesus at Calvary. Even his demons have been paralyzed. He makes a heck of a roar. And if we do not know where we stand in Christ and our position in Christ and who we are in Christ, we're going to get absolutely hammered. If you don't know your enemy, you don't worship him, But you just are very alert of him. And you don't give him any room. You do not give him that authority that you have been given by God. Don't give him any room. You know, if we got a revelation of this, what Jesus is saying tonight, if we got a revelation of who we are in Christ, oh, man, this church and all Christians who had that truth would be powerful. And I'm going to tell you why. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit means yield or surrender. Resist means to withstand, to oppose the devil. If we can get the truth that he actually runs from us, even little Atahua, the way she worships the Lord and preaches to me and Mum with her Bible, preaches, she's going to be a preacher, and then she worships the Lord, I'll tell you what, she's just as powerful with God's authority as what we are. Because the devil will flee from her. Because she's under the covering of her papa and nana. And here's another reason why Satan doesn't want you to know that he's been defeated and he's weak and he's got no power. And the Bible doesn't talk about his power, but it talks about his cunningness, his craftiness, and that very big word, I don't know. And it goes, Matthew 16, 18. And I'll tell you the truth. No, it doesn't say that. And I'll tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. He doesn't want us to take back what belongs to us. He doesn't want us to take back our family that he's taken. He doesn't want us to know to take back our wealth and finances that he's taken. He doesn't want you to know to take back your blessings that God has given you that he's robbed off you. And he doesn't want you to know, he doesn't want you to know to take back the health and the joy that belongs to us that God has given us. Hallelujah. Did you know if we stand together, now, one Tuesday morning in our, what's it called now? The focus group, Wendy Hemingway's focus group. She's away at the moment and we were looking after it. And this lady had a niece who had this baby. And the kidneys were going, the heart was going, the lungs were going. They're filling the babies in that with all the stuff. Placenta. Praise God, I'm not a doctor, eh? Have you got appendix? Oh, sorry. Anyway. And basically, they were tossing up whether to take the baby or not. And as a group, we prayed. We prayed. Did you know she had a normal birth? The kidneys are working. The heart's working. The big heart is now a small heart. The lungs are working. That udaki thing where the baby sits was all normal. And she gave a normal birth. And the lady herself is all right. That is through prayer. We have authority, people, over the enemy, over sickness, over death, over all that, over darkness. We are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords' children. That's who we are. We belong to Jesus. Calvary is for us. Did you know why? Did you know why Jesus healed and did miracles before he went to the cross? Do you know why he did that? To show us his power and authority over darkness, so that when he went to the cross, we could take that authority and do the same. That's why he did it. That's why he did those miracles and healings, to show us he has authority over darkness. And at Calvary, he gave us that authority, and we prayed it over that baby. And now the baby's beautiful. It's a little boy. Okay. Is that all right so far? I'm going to finish now. John. This is John, is it? Joe. Okay. Now, we're finishing, If you want to kneel, if you want to stand, if you want to sit, it's all yours. But I'm gonna confess this. Seven things I'm gonna confess about the blood of Jesus. And you know what I love to do? Sing. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood. I'd love to sing that song. Well, okay. You ready, Joel? Do what you want. Stand, raise your hands, whatever. Here we go. Through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus, I'm continually being cleansed from all my sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm sanctified, made holy, set apart for God.
Amen.
Amen. Through the blood of Jesus, I have boldness to enter into the presence of God. And finally, through the blood of Jesus, I overcome the work of the devil. And here's the final little bit. The devil has no place in me. No power over me, no unsettled claims against me. All has been settled by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think I'll share this joke again. Now, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, God, that you love us so much, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we are the King's kids. Father, you protect us. You look after us, Father, because you are our dad. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for what you've done, Lord, at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, that you laid down your life, that your will became your Father's will. And together, your love was so strong, that agape love, Lord, that you gave us everything we need as Christians. Lord God, everything we need, you've given us, Father. And we thank you. Now, tonight, if you need prayer for anything, I'm not going to ask you what for. I'm not going to do that. The Holy Spirit knows. If you want prayer, you just come down front and we'll pray for you.